Alrighty, we're continuing our study, you know, that we started and we only had one lesson, the intro lesson, and then we got interrupted, and so here we are. So this is actually the first real lesson. You know how my intro lessons are, they're basically a table of content as to what the series is going to be. But the series is the Feasts of Israel. That's what we're studying. And the emphasis being placed on Jesus and how we see them in these feasts and special days. And so we did the intro lesson, and I needed to do the intro lesson with just the way that the Jewish calendar works. So if you remember, that was part of the intro lesson, was the way that the Jewish calendar works, because it's not like our calendar. And also the way that they keep their days from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And now you begin to see why I gave you that first, because a lot of these feasts, they run in a way that they're not exactly the way that we would run them, you know, if they were our feasts. And so this is the first actual lesson. I want you to turn to three places I'm going to give you right now. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Then Exodus chapter 20. Genesis 2 should be easy to find. Come on. And then Exodus 20. And let me tell you, if I begin to cough here, just bear with me. Give me time. I'm not going to die. It may sound like it, but I'll get it together and we'll go on. Okay? And then lastly, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin in Genesis chapter 2, then we'll go to Exodus, and then it'll be a while before we get to Matthew. We're looking at the Sabbath. The Sabbath. And so we got to start with that one, because that is actually the most common and important feast day. And you say, what? A feast day? Yeah, actually it is a feast day. And it's a very special day for the Jews. And we don't think much of it. We think, well, there's Sabbath, you know. Now, do let me say that most American Jews do not keep these holidays like they do in Israel. And if you're, you know, Orthodox Jewish, you really keep these, you know. And so it may be that if you have a Jewish friend and you mention some of these, they may say, yeah, well, we don't really do all that, but it's what it's supposed to be done, all right? So it's the Sabbath, the day of rest. And of course, you know, this series explains the symbolism between Christ and, of course, these holidays. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2 and look, if you will, at verse 3. It says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And that's where we see that the Sabbath, or the seventh day, is set apart by God. So this is something that God did. Now remember, the Jews are nowhere to be found in this point in time, okay? I mean, Abraham isn't even around. So we realize that this is something that he does at the very beginning, at creation time. He sets this day aside. Now, the Hebrew word Shabbat, which is Sabbath, okay? Shabbat, which is Sabbath, comes from a root word meaning rest or cease. And I want you to put that in your memory bank, rest or cease, because Sabbath doesn't just come on Saturdays, our Saturdays. There's other Sabbaths, so we need to remember that. So I'm going to explain all this to you, but you need to remember that it's actually meaning rest or cease, and cease from whatever you are doing. You stop, you cease. You rest, okay? And keeping that definition in mind is going to help you as we study other Sabbaths, because they may not be the seventh day of the week, but they will be days of rest and ceasing or stopping, all right? So keep that definition in mind, all right? Now, when we talk about the Sabbath, normally what we think of is our Saturday, and the seventh day of the week. And that's the way that we think Sabbaths are. Well, you know, when you think of the Sabbath, of course, it's Saturday. And I want to remind you, it's from Friday at 6 o'clock in the evening to Saturday at 6 o'clock in the evening. That's what makes their day. Now, that we already studied that. It was the first lesson, and that's why I did it that way, because we need to keep that in mind. Now, it was part of the creation work, this is important, the creation work of God, that the Sabbath day is set apart, all right? Now, I want you to go to Exodus now, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we won't move from here for a while. And look at beginning in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 11. So Exodus 20, 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not work, shalt not do any work, thou shalt nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or sanctified it. So now we're in Exodus, though. And in Exodus now, he is giving the commandments to Israel. Now the nation is together. The nation is put together as his people. And so now he's giving his people this. Now, in Genesis, and stay with me here. In Genesis, yes, the Lord says that he rests. However, here with Israel, he sanctifies it. And now he makes a commandment, which is part of the Ten Commandments, that says that on that seventh day, you're going to rest and everything is going to cease. Your cattle, your maidservant, your servants, everybody stops and does nothing. So here's where the weekly Sabbath is now supposed to be observed and kept by the people of Israel. Now, the Jewish tradition, and I'm going to give you a little bit of this. The Jewish tradition, the Sabbath, or in Jewish tradition, the Sabbath is believed to be a gift from God to them. It was something special, and you'll see why here as we move along. And so it was a gift from God to his people. It is a day held foundational to Judaism, foundational. If you were to say, what is the most important special day for Judaism, the Sabbath comes first. You would think maybe Passover. No, the Sabbath comes first because the Sabbath is the one that they observe most often, so it's before them, and it's the one that has a lot of special meaning, as we'll see as we move along. So the Sabbath itself is almost worshipped, okay? It's not, but almost worshipped. And it's, you know, how high is this day? Well, it's very, very high. It's mentioned more than any other Jewish holiday, and obviously it's kept more often, all right? However, in Jesus' day, the Sabbath is not exactly what God made it here in Exodus and Leviticus. It's been spun, it's been changed, and the rabbis have added to it. The Sanhedrin has really added to it. And basically, it's become a burden to the people. It's no longer a day of rest, even though they're not supposed to do anything. It's been loaded up with different things that they're supposed to do, different things that they're supposed to bring to the temple and the synagogues, and this and that, and it's all been added by the rabbis. So it is not the same, all right? Now that's important as we move on, all right? So the way that we read it here and what the Lord said here, and then the way that it was being done in Jesus' day, a lot different, okay? The people look at a Sabbath as, oh no, we're coming on the Sabbath because it's burdensome. It demands so much of them, and that was because of the rabbis. It was because of the religious people. It was not because of God. Now, there are a number of Sabbaths, and this is where you need to remember the definition, okay? There's a number of Sabbaths that refer, of course, to rest. And they're commanded by God in Scripture. And I'm going to give you the Scripture references, but we don't have time to go there. There's the Sabbath of the seventh day of the week, and that one we're familiar with, okay? And there's that one. And then there's the Sabbath, or day of rest, on the first day of the seventh month, which if you remember, because we studied this in the intro lesson, is the beginning of their calendar year. And so let me say that one again. The Sabbath or day of rest is the first day of the seventh month, which marks the first day of the numerical calendar year. Now, that does not, listen carefully, that does not have to match up with our Saturday. It does not have to match up with being the seventh day of a week, okay? Now we're celebrating the first day of the new year, and that's called a Sabbath, and it is a day of rest, and you don't do anything. So there's the seventh day of the week, but now we've got another one, and that's that first day of the calendar year. Remember, we study there are two calendars that they go by, but this is the numerical calendar year. And so they mark that first day, which is the seventh month, if you remember. The first day is called the Sabbath. Also, every 7 years, the actual land of Israel was to have a Sabbath, and you weren't supposed to do anything for that year. You let the land rest. You let the animals rest. Now, you can find all this in Leviticus chapter 25, basically the whole chapter. It starts with verse 3, and it goes through. So Leviticus 25, if you want to read that later. And then lastly, there is the seven cycles of 7 years, which makes the 50th year the year of Jubilee. And that was also. So every 50th year, seven-year cycles. Every 50th year was called the year of Jubilee. And that year also, you did nothing. You did not plant. You let the land rest. You let everything rest. The animals rested. And of course, you stored up for this, obviously. Also, the slaves were released. There's a lot that went on with that year of Jubilee. And that came around every 50 years. And so all of these are Sabbaths, and they were called Sabbaths. Year of Jubilee was a Sabbath. The other year was a Sabbath, which began their numerical year of calendar. And all of these are Sabbaths. So you've got to remember, don't think Saturday. You have to think more of these are their days of rest. Okay, and that's important when we tie it in with the Lord Jesus in just a little bit, okay? So it's the day of rest. It can come in many ways, as you can see, but it's the day of rest. And so that is important that, you know, the land rested, the animals rested, everyone rested, and in these different ways. Now, the Sabbath was to be a holy day. Any of these Sabbaths were holy days because they're all connected with God. And so these are all holy days. They're days of rest, and they are refreshing for the Israelites. And so we realize that, yes, these were holy days because God blessed them, God set them aside, and so the seventh day was sanctified. There was a holiness about it because it was part of the Ten Commandments. So there was definitely a holiness about it. But the Sabbath also the purpose of the Sabbath was threefold. Now, I need you to really listen to this because it's interesting. We are thinking, okay, Pastor, it's for rest. You know, the land will rest. And no. There's more to this, okay? It's threefold. Not only are we resting the land, not in the weekly Sabbaths, but the other Sabbaths I mentioned. And yes, in the year of Jubilee, we're releasing the slaves and all of that. No, we're doing that, but there's other purposes. So there's three purposes. So the first one, let me give this to you. The Sabbath was to be a day of rest and refreshing for the Israelites, their servants, their livestock, any visitors. We just read this. For 6 days, they were to labor. And then on the seventh day, they were to completely cease their work. And that was everybody, all right? On that seventh day, what we would call a Saturday, they stop. And they're not supposed to do anything. But in so doing, remember the purpose here, in so doing, they were the only people that did this. Do you realize that no one else did this? None of the neighboring nations around Israel did this. As a matter of fact, you know, God gave them this after they came out of Egypt, but they were not used to this. You know, I don't know if you realize it, but there are many countries in the world where Sunday does not exist. Well, it does exist, but you know what I mean. It doesn't exist the way we see it. And so it's just like any other day, just any other day. Well, they were the only people that kept this day, and they stopped and did nothing. So the other nations would say, why is it? It's because our God sanctified it, made it holy, and told us that we should not work that day. So it identified them with Jehovah. It connected now God with them because they were the only people that did nothing on the seventh day. They stopped. And while everybody else would keep going, especially if they were in another country, they wouldn't. They were Jews and they kept the Sabbath. So it identified them with Jehovah. Secondly, the Sabbath was to be a sign between the Lord and Israel. That's Exodus chapter 31. You're in chapter, we better not go there. I'll just give you the reference, all right, because I don't want to take more time. So Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13, all right? God says that this is going to be a covenant between them and Israel, my people, all right? So it's going to be between them. It was very similar to circumcision. It was only between Israel and God, and there was a sign involved and a setting apart and all of that, and that's Exodus 31:13. And so it was to be kept throughout generations upon generations. So they're supposed to keep it. It was a covenant sign between God and Israel. And he gave them this day to remember that he was the Lord their God. And so there was a connection there. Not only did it identify them as far as the outsiders were concerned, but it also connected them with God. God had sanctified them as his people, and on that day, there was going to be worship. And so God gave them. He didn't make this covenant with the Gentiles, by the way. We're going to talk about that a little later. But he didn't make that with the Gentiles. He only made it with the Jews, only made it with Israel. Number three, the Sabbath was the day of remembering the physical redemption from Egypt. The physical redemption from Egypt. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. And so it reminded them of the physical redemption from Egypt. So the Sabbath wasn't just for rest, see. There were other things involved. And so God, and I want you to understand this, and let me say this. God didn't rest on the seventh day of creation, back what we read in Genesis, because he was exhausted and fatigued. Okay? That wasn't the reason, okay? So we realize something. No, he didn't need to do that. It's because he wanted to stop and sanctify, have a time when the concern was not the creation, the concern was him. All right? So he stopped. He stopped what he was doing, and he stopped. And so it was important that the Jews stop, and it was no longer about the land. It was no longer about the creation. It was not about the animals. It was about him, God. It was about God. And so this is a day of worship. It was a day of stopping everything and worshiping him. So you see, there's a lot more here than just, oh, it's just a day when you don't do anything. No. It is a day of worship. Deuteronomy 5:15, a day of redemption, physical redemption, in a day when they would worship him. And so the idea of resting spoke of detaching themselves from the mundane of everyday work and now all of a sudden focusing on their God. And that's really what this is about. Is stopping to focus upon their God. Now keep this in mind because that's a key statement there. Stopping and focusing upon their God. And so the material wasn't looked after. Nothing was focused except the spiritual, the eternal, the heavenly, and that was Jehovah being God's people. And this is a day when we focus upon our God. And so that was the third one. Now, by keeping the Sabbath, let me give you some things here. By keeping the Sabbath, the Israelites marked out distinction between themselves and all the other godless nations because they specialized in the fact that they recognized their God. They recognized their God often, once a week, and the other nations didn't do this. And so it totally was intended by God to be placed over them. And when he institutes the Sabbath, it is a time when they would turn from their workings and they would involve him now in their life. They were going to seek him. They were going to come together. Now, it begins on Friday at 6 o'clock. Now, if you were a good Jewish family, let me give you what you would do. At 6 o'clock on Friday, that starts your Sabbath, all right? You're a good Jewish family. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to light your two Sabbath candles. You didn't know there were Sabbath candles, did you? Hey, Google it. You light your two Sabbath candles, and that's the first thing that you do. And then you get ready because that's going to be your first church service. Well, it'll be in the synagogue, okay? So that's going to be your first synagogue service. It'll come on what we would call Friday night, okay? It's their Saturday morning. And so that starts the Sabbath. So you're going to light your two Sabbath candles, which are going to be blown out at 6 o'clock tomorrow, all right? Or today, later at 6 o'clock. And so you can light your two candles. You get ready, you get dressed, you go to the synagogue. And then there you're going to have your first service. It's the Sabbath service, the first Sabbath service. And then you're gonna read from the Torah. You're going to talk about Jehovah God. You're going to sing chants, and you are going to do different readings about different things. It could be the Psalms. It could be, and so there's different readings. And so then that ends, and then you go home and you go to bed, because I mean it is night, okay? And then you're gonna get up in the next morning, still the Sabbath, and you're gonna go to the morning service. And in the morning service, there's going to be different readings. You're going to read the Torah again. You know, that's like their Bible. The Torah again. And then there's going to be other types of things that are done, depending on, you know, what is scheduled by the rabbis. Then you're going to break for lunch. And then you're going to come back in the late evening, but not anywhere near close to 6 o'clock, okay? So usually about 4 o'clock. And you're going to come back for the third service. Don't you wish we did? No. Okay, so you're going to do one Friday night, what we would call Friday night. But remember, 6 o'clock starts their Saturday, if you will. So on Friday night, and then there's two services on Saturday, all right? And so that's what you would do if you were a good Jewish family. You'd light your candles, and you would go. You're going to sing hymns, you're going to say, you're going to read the Torah, you're going to go through the different prayers, and you're going to read the Psalms or the Proverbs, and that's what you're going to do, and that's what's going to make up your service. You're going to come back, and then at 6 o'clock, what we would call Saturday night, okay, 6 o'clock, then they're going to blow out their candles, because now Sunday starts. Remember, because they do their things different, their day different, all right? So that's what you would do, and that is actually a very typical Sabbath day, all right? But you're not cooking, you've already cooked the day before, you aren't doing anything, you're just concentrating on God. And I want you to understand something, they've had three services, so definitely there's a focus on God. It's their day of worship. So sometimes we think it's just a day of rest. No. It's their day of worship, and so they are worshiping. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, let's bring him into the picture here now, because that's been basically Old Testament. He used the Sabbath as a prophetic sign, because it is a prophetic sign. I'm going to teach you that, all right? It's a prophetic sign. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comes onto the scene, and if you remember, they're just blown away because the Lord is doing things on the Sabbath that you're not supposed to do. And so blasphemy, you know. And so no. It's not that he's anti-Sabbath, okay? No, it's a prophetic sign. And in that prophetic sign now, we have the Messiah. Now God himself, who gave and sanctified the Sabbath, is in the picture. Now he's here. And so the whole thing changes because it's a prophetic sign. So what does he do? He does his miracles. He is God. So he does his miracles. He teaches on the Sabbath. And he performs many of these miracles on the Sabbath. And of course, they're considered blasphemous. Now, the thing about it was, go back. God never said that there couldn't be healing. God never said there couldn't be miracles. God just said, don't use the animals, let the land rest. No, they had added so much. They had made the people so just bogged down with the Sabbath. And so the Lord comes, and he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And so it was not that Jesus was anti-Sabbath and that he was disobeying God, okay? And that's what, you know, some will say, oh, well, he was disobeying God. No. I want you to understand something. As a Jew, he never broke the law. So, no, he recognized the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, we've got lots of scripture that tell us that he recognized the Sabbath. However, he broke some of the Sabbath laws that the rabbis had put in place. That was the problem. And so he included healing in the Sabbath, and that's basically a lot of what he got in trouble for, except one time. But he fulfilled specific prophecies by doing that. And so what do we find? Well, we find that he heals the crippled woman. That's in Luke 13. And oh, that was a big deal. Then he heals the crippled man and tells him to pick up his bed and go. Now that was work. So that was considered labor as far as the rabbis were concerned. And so, whoa, that was blasphemy. He was doing things he should not have done. And then he did something really, really, really bad. He plucked the ears of corn and ate on the Sabbath. And you weren't supposed to touch the harvest. Not on that day. So all these things, by the way, that's Luke 6. So all these things were blasphemous. So what was the point? If Jesus knew he was going to make the Sanhedrin mad and the religious, you know, bunch mad, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and, you know, if it was going to make them mad, what was the point of breaking the Sabbath? Especially, there were going to be consequences because they were going to come after him. So what was the point? Well, let me give you some points here. Number one, though his miracles or his miraculous ministry included healing on the Sabbath, he's fulfilling a specific prophecy. Okay, so hang in there with me on this. He was proving that he was Israel's long-awaited Messiah. And in Israel's long-awaited Messiah, what we find is that as a Messiah, Jesus had the authority to supersede the law. And as he supersedes the law, what we find is that, yeah, he was beginning to dismantle Judaism, which is really what he was doing. He was dismantling Judaism. Now, they didn't realize it, but that's what he was doing. He was dismantling Judaism. Now, what happens then is that, okay, if he's trying to prove that he supersedes Judaism, he supersedes the law, he's proving to be Messiah. All of the signs are there. All of the miracles are there, and now he is doing things contrary to Jewish tradition. It was not necessarily how God had given them the Sabbath. It was Jewish tradition, which was Judaism. That's what he now begins to do. The fact that he taught on the Sabbath, and he wasn't a rabbi and all that. So that was part of what he was supposed to do. Because in the Torah it said that when Messiah comes, that he would supersede the law and he would even supersede the Torah. The Torah said that. So by him taking his rightful place of authority as the Messiah, he was fulfilling what they were reading all those Sabbaths. Every time they read the Torah and read about the Messiah, they read that he superseded the Torah because he was the Word. He superseded the law because he was the giver of the law, the originator of the law. So that's what he's doing. He's fulfilling that scripture that was those prophecies that were in the Torah saying that the Messiah was going to supersede the law, was going to supersede the actual writings of Moses, the Torah, and so because he was the Messiah. And so what we find is that, no, he's fulfilling scripture. He had to do that. However, understand, he's not breaking the Sabbath as God gave it. He's breaking the Sabbath as the rabbis gave it. However, even if he broke it the way God gave it, he is God. So he could do it. He's God. So what we find then is that he reminds them of this. Now go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 28. Excuse me, verse 8. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Even of the Sabbath day. Okay, so Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8. So the Lord says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now, here's what you do. You're sitting there, and he says that, he makes that statement, and you are either going to say, yes, and I believe that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of Man. You are the Messiah. Or you're going to say, who do you think you are? For those that believed, that was a rightful statement. For those that did not want to accept him as Messiah, that was blasphemy. I mean, look at what he said. He said, he is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Oh, but he was. So the statement is correct. So we realize, no, he's fulfilling prophecy, and he's even telling them who he is by making that statement, and there are other statements as well. But we realize then that what he's saying is, you know what? The Torah takes a back seat to me. You know what? The Sabbath takes a back seat to me. You know what? Everything that has to do with Judaism takes a back seat to me. Messiah has come. Son of God is here. And so that's what he's pointing out. So that was number one. Number two, as Messiah, Son of God, he has the authority to correct, reinterpret, and even change and even abolish the Sabbath laws according to the Torah. And so, yes, he was God. He would be able to do anything having to do with the Sabbath to change it. Now, what would happen was that every time that the Lord broke one of those traditions that was not part of what God had given them, see, the religious bunch would become enraged. Why? Because he was breaking their traditions, the things that they had imposed on the Sabbath. Not what God had done, but what they had imposed. And by doing that, what will the people think? Well, the people are going to stop doing what we're telling them they're supposed to do above and beyond what God said. And so, see, he's breaking down Judaism, breaking down Judaism. And so, no, there's no conflict between him and the Word of God, between him and his own word, but no, it was against that rabbinical choir, a Sabbath, that rabbinical bunch that actually would come together. Now, let me give you something here, because the primary difference, and it's important that you get this, between what the rabbis had made the Sabbath and the Sabbath presented by the Lord Jesus Christ was that Jesus declared that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And that's what had changed. And so, no, he said, you know, the Sabbath is made for man so that man would worship God. It was not that man, you know, it was not turned around and then man actually imposes things upon man. So the Sabbath, which had been made into this legalistic, system, where the priests actually controlled the people and everything and a lot of things with the Sabbath. No. The Lord was tearing that down. And by tearing it down, he was making it so that, you know, he was breaking down Judaism. So the scriptures, of course, they were there. But the Lord never broke any of what God had said. What he was doing was breaking Judaism. So we realize then that there was a taking over of the Lord Jesus Christ when it came to the Sabbath. He took over the Sabbath. In taking over the Sabbath, now stay with me because I'm going to bring here some scripture here. I want you to notice that the scriptures are silent when it talks about the Sabbath and the Gentile church. That's you and me. The church age is the age of the Gentiles. That's us. Scripture is silent concerning the keeping of the Sabbath through the church age. We don't keep the Sabbath. He took the Sabbath and he took control of the Sabbath. He showed that he was over the Sabbath, so therefore he could do anything he wanted to with the Sabbath. He is God. So by doing that, what happened was he emphasized that this covenant is with Jews and God. And as we come into the church age, we find 9 of the 10 commandments that are reiterated in the New Testament, 9. Which one is the one left out? The keeping of the Sabbath. The keeping of the Sabbath. The keeping of the Sabbath is nowhere to be found in the New Testament. It's missing. So though all the other of the 10 commandments are reiterated and they're made a little bit different, but they're still there, we find the Sabbath is not found. Why? Because it's like circumcision. It's just between the Jews and God, and that's the way it is. And so the Lord, what happens? He meets with the apostles on the first day of the week. He meets with them again on the first day of the week. He comes into the resurrection, and he meets with them on the first day of the week again. The early church starts meeting on the first day of the week. First century passes, they're always meeting on the first day of the week. Second century passes, and they're meeting on the first day of the week. And they continue to meet on the first day of the week because that's what the apostles taught the church, was to meet on the first day of the week. Why? Because it celebrated the resurrection. No longer, we're not Jews, so no longer is that covenant made back there in Exodus. Yes, for their generations, fine, but not for us. We celebrate the resurrection. And so, yes, there was no Exodus for us. There was none of these things fit for us. They fit for the Jews. And by the way, Messianic Jews are saved. They're part of the church as believers. However, you notice they still keep their Sabbath. That is correct. That is correct. So, what do we have? Well, the apostles taught the church, you meet on the first day of the week. And since the church age is the Gentile age, then it was not to be imposed on them. And remember, Peter had a problem with that. He wanted to impose. And the whole fight in the early church was, no, you got to be circumcised to be saved, and you got to follow the Jewish. And no. Paul says, no. Peter says, okay, I get it. I saw it come down, and I had to eat pork in the house of a Gentile. Whew. So we realize then, no, it was very, very clear that Gentiles were one, church was one, and now the Jews and Judaism, that was separate. And so what we find then is that during the Gentile age, no, that's the way it was going to be. And let me just interject something. Seventh-day Adventists didn't come onto the scene until 1863. So, you know, they're the Christian church, they say, but they meet on the Sabbath, and they want to keep the Sabbath, and they want to do that. Well, you know, there's a problem when you come in 1863. Did God damn everybody from their back because they didn't keep the Sabbath? So keep these things in mind when your neighbor or your friend, you know, bring these things up. And so we realize that, no. But now let me give you the purest form here, and we'll close here. The purest form of the Sabbath, it's all prophetic. Okay, so not only does it prepare God's people to worship God, not only does it identify the Messiah when he comes by what he's going to do with the Sabbath, but the purest form of the Sabbath day is represented by the millennial reign. Think about it. What happens in the millennial reign? Peace, rest. So the purest form is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now here's the interesting thing. When the millennial reign starts, you realize that the kingdom has been established. The Torah says that when the kingdom is in place, it will be the great Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? So when the kingdom is established, and that will be the millennial reign, it is the great Sabbath. What do? We worship. We rest. It's a time of peace. 1,000 years of peace and 1,000 years of worship. the great Sabbath. So don't put so much emphasis on the rest, because the rest and the ceasing of wasn't really the point here. The point is stop and worship. Stop and worship. And so this great Sabbath will be when we have this 1,000-year reign of Christ and the kingdom is established. And the Jews are still waiting for Messiah. But the Torah says, when the kingdom is established, it will be the great Sabbath. And so it'll be a great time of rest and ceasing. And so we realize that. According to Ezekiel 46, and this is basically the whole chapter, by the way. And if you go to Ezekiel 46, I want you to keep in mind that it's talking about the millennial reign, okay? According to Ezekiel 46, during the millennium, the Sabbath will continue to be observed, most likely for the survivors of the tribulation period. And of course, the Jews, which are all in Jerusalem, all right? And it'll be a memorial for the rest found in Jesus Christ. That's Ezekiel 46. So what is the Sabbath then? The Sabbath is actually established by God with his people so they worship him and prophesize not only the coming of the Messiah, but the ruling of the Messiah in the millennial reign. It's a picture. It's a picture established way back there of God resting. Now he has the creation. The creation is supposed to what? Glorify him. And so he stops for that glorifying. He stops for that worship. And that's exactly what we find here. That is the Sabbath.